Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Elder Chisanga.
Good afternoon to you.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm just okay. Not talking about that side.
No, we well, thank you, and thank you so much for asking. We're talking about the Voice of Prophecy lesson, talking about satisfying our hidden hunger. Now, before sin spoiled the perfect picture, Adam and Eve enjoyed a personal relationship with God, their creator, in their beautiful garden. But as we all know, that was only the beginning of the story, and they strategically fell victim to the devil's deception, throwing our world into utter chaos. So please do summarize for us today's lesson. What is the great hidden hunger that the lesson is referring to?
Okay. When we look at sin, it's the repercussion or the result of the choice which was made, which was banishment. We see that sin actually brings a separation between us and God. And that's what Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2 tells us, especially verse 2, where it says, your sins have separated you from God. So because of that separation, we find there's a void which is created in humanity. And that void causes humanity to pant for something which should fill it up. And that is the anger which we see human beings having. So it is this same anger, this sense of spiritual homelessness that drives the human soul to seek satisfaction in places that never truly satisfy. So what we get is that it's important for us as human beings to know the true anger which must be filled in us, so that we know who must fill up that anger. Because if we do not know it, we'll end up turning to anything in the world which we think must satisfy that very anger. Sure.
Yeah, and quite important, because, I mean, people could actually turn on each other there. Now, what condition now exists for all humanity?
Romans 5 verse 12 says, therefore, just as through one man's sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spreads to all men because all sinned. So from here we find that the entrance of sin through Adam was not merely an isolated event, but a representative fall that altered the spiritual DNA of humanity. So this verse actually teaches us something very theological. What we call the origin of sin and how sin becomes something which we inherit. So the verse does not in a sense say that we are blamed for Adam's personal sin. No, but that now we inherit a sinful nature, a predisposition to rebel, to mistrust, and to disconnect from God. So what that verse was actually telling us is the universal consequence of sin, which is death, not merely physical death only, but spiritual death, which is the separation from God, like we earlier said. So to clearly answer the question, we find that humanity now lives in a paradox where we are spiritually dead, yet we are always spiritually searching. So our souls are hungry and restless and empty. And this is what a certain man by the name of Augustine said, to say, you have made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. So the condition now which we exist for all humanity is that there is death as a result of sin being on this earth.
Why are we all stained with Adam's sin? Even before we've actually committed any sin, we were not there at the Garden of the Eden. We were not part of it. He did that together with his wife. And now we're embroiled in this thing. Why are we all stained with this?
So what we see is because sin is present in this world. It's there in this world. And because of that, It simply means we equally are facing the consequence of sin. And this is where the Bible tells us to say the earth groans in pain. It's because of this presence of sin in this world that we find we ourselves as people find ourselves in this chaos. And that's what we see, that when God comes, or when we talk about salvation and God getting rid of sin, is not just getting rid of sin present in individuals, but the sin present in this all earth. So we are affected because our nature, our human nature, which we inherited from our forefathers, Adam and Eve, is being formed in sin. Mm. So there's that inborn desire to want wrong things.
Mm.
So we find God now comes into the picture so that he gets rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's somewhere where I once read should be in Patriarchs and Prophets, where we are taught that we equally, when you talk about the tree in the Garden of Eden, that we even today are still eating from that forbidden fruit. And the idea there is that even if we ourselves were to be put in the Garden of Eden, would still fail to meet the standards of God because of the nature of sin which is embedded in us. So to overcome that, that's where now we find Jesus comes into the picture. So on our own, we can't.
Mm.
Sure.
I see. Now, do unbelievers also experience this hunger? Can and can any other than God satisfy it?
Uh-huh. So when we talk about this hunger, it is a universal hunger. It's not only for people who have known God. Everyone, even believers, they have that hunger. But because they do not know God, you find that they will replace the satisfaction into anything which they meet. I'll give, for instance, when we talk of history, we learn about the Sun people, that the Sun people actually, they used to worship a praying mantis. And we know of people who don't believe in God, that there's something which they worship. All in all, every one of us in the world, whether we acknowledge that there's God or there's no God, there's something which everyone in their capacity, they worship. So that clearly tells us that there's a void which a person is created with, which only God can fill. But if we do not find God, we end up now turning into others, it's fashion, others, it's their spouses, others, it's entertainment, and anything which they can find, which will fulfill, or rather, which will fill in that anger. But the greatest challenge is that if it is not God, then there's nothing which can satisfy that anger which we have. We'll be desiring more and more. We'll never be content, just like money. We have it, we'll still be wanting more and more.
Yeah.
But with God, once we have him, our hunger is satisfied in full.
Man, I tell you. Now, what are your final thoughts on this lesson, or some things that you want to highlight that we didn't touch it?
Well, from just this very topic, it clearly means that we as human beings, and specifically we who have met Christ, we should understand that faith in Jesus Christ is what can restore what Adam lost.
Mm.
Then again, we need to always have dependence on the Holy Spirit who Jesus Christ promised, because when he dwells in us, the Spirit will satisfy our anger by guiding us, by teaching us, by convicting us, and comforting us. Then again, like it is that when we get used of something, we tend sometimes to forget its importance. But with God, what we should understand is that we need daily communion with him. It doesn't mean that once we meet God today, then we will forever be righteous. We need to live a sanctified life, a life which depends on him. And this is where Jeremiah 15:16 says,
mm-hmm.
Your words were found and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing in my heart. Then finally, what I can say is that we should live obedient to God's will.
Yeah.
Because Christ himself satisfied the will of God by walking with God. So always we should endeavor to ask ourselves, whatsoever I want to do, is God going to be pleased with whatsoever I'll do?
Yes, yes.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, that's powerful, actually. We should always ask ourselves, is God going to be pleased with what we are doing? But do you think we always ask that?
We don't always do
it. All right. I must thank you so much, my elder, for coming through. It's been a fantastic one. Thank you, and thank you so much. Well, we'll wish you a fantastic afternoon. Until next time.
Thank you so much.
Lovely. Goodbye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.